Good evening, fellow Wahoos, and welcome, ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, Jim Hobgood. And we're on a little early tonight, and we had to run right in here, and we barely got on, but we're excited to be on the air tonight. UVA fans, on the other hand, are still wondering what the heck happened up in Charlottesville on Sunday. No offense, really, by either team, really, and not a very well refereed game, in my opinion. But
that's right. Blame the refs.
Blame the refs. When in doubt, blame the refs. In fact, nobody could make a shot in that two-point loss to VPI. And there's, I think they're going to have to have a Senate investigation as to find out what was going on. Anyhow, as it was or is, the Wahoo basketball team's AP ranking slipped to number 19. UVA's Mike Scott, on the other hand, is still playing excellent ball. He needs some help from his guards. Hello, guards. Somebody, please make a shot. Tonight, we will analyze the UVA hoop scene. The upcoming Boston College, NC State, and Clemson games will all take place between now and our next show, which is next Wednesday night at our regular time at 6 o'clock. We're glad that you've joined us tonight.
Well, you got all the promotion done there. Well done, Mr. Maloney. Welcome to Drive Time here. We got Jesse in studio. Of course, Michael Tusky. This is the old Hobbo, and old is the operative word there. But anyway, as Frank said, welcome to the show tonight. We will be joined shortly by former UVA guard, NBA guard, and former analyst on the Virginia Sports Network, Corey Alexander. Now, of course, he's coaching at Hampton Sydney. He is with the team over in Lynchburg, so we're still hopeful that the connection via phone will work with him, but it'll be interesting to get his observations and sense relative to the team at this stage.
Standing by, we do have Terry Gates, one of our regular contributors here.
He's loosening up in the bullpen. Now, yeah. He's not really starting heating up in the bullpen just yet, but he's loosening up.
That's true.
And then the other half of Virginia Sports Properties for the prior 3 years, the voice of the Hoos, Dave Kane. And we know he will join us at the top of the hour, what's normally our first segment, but he'll be in there from 6 o'clock or shortly thereafter on to give us his perspective on how things are going and how he managed to get through the game the other night and provide some excitement to a very dull, bad basket. I mean, you know, that would have been, you know, had we had the 47, it still would have been dreadful. It was even more dreadful given that we had the 45, but it was terrible.
23-19 at halftime is an abomination.
Yeah, Dr. Naismith was flipping in his grave on Sunday night.
I tell you, that may have been the worst game I've seen in person potentially ever. There is hope, though. You know, Sammy was sick. Ahsan Sen was out with the ankle fracture surgery and all that. So there are some reasons. Nevertheless, somebody, please teach John Tell how to finish a layup or a drive to the hoop. Somebody, please remind Joe Harris that he is a good shooter. Please, someone convince any of the other players, Akil Mitchell, how to make a tip in.
Well, John Tell, if he doesn't make the layup, how to make the free throws after he gets fouled. At any rate, we'll have a lot to say about the Virginia Tech game and, as Frank said, the upcoming three games between now and our next show. In the meantime, our friend Mr. Michael Tusky will tell you how to follow the program.
We encourage call-ins. Just dial 345-0910. Who's Talking is also streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to go onto Facebook, just search for Who's Talking, become a fan, and post comments. We also encourage listeners to download the iHeartRadio app to listen to the show live on your smartphone. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Just call us at 345-0910.
Smartphone, iPad, or whatever, and that's a great way of listening. If you're out of town, get crystal clear signal right here over the iHeartRadio. But at any rate, you know, Frank, the sad thing about Frank and Michael, the sad thing about last week is the Georgia Tech game. I thought the team played extremely well, and I said, you know, they played like a top 20 team down there in Atlanta, and that was a game, as we discussed last Wednesday. I thought that was a trap game. I was a little worried about that game, but they were terrific, but then laid an egg on Sunday.
Well, you know, interesting thought that I had as I was leaving John Paul Jones Arena Sunday night was essentially Virginia went down to Georgia Tech and played in a very quiet, gigantic Phillips Arena, and the issue there, you know, was that there was a small crowd there, and Virginia had to generate their own enthusiasm, their own energy. They come to JPJ Sunday night with a packed house, 15,000 fans, and The fans were cheering loud at the beginning of the game, and then boom, nobody could make a shot for either side. The referees were making strange calls, and before you know it, the game just devolved into a slugfest, which...
I'm told by Jesse that we have the big cat on the line. He wants to ask a question. Wasn't he supposed to be on last night? At any rate, the big cat, are you with us here?
I am, guys. Hey, I do enjoy your show. I do. And I agree, that was one ugly game. Fortunately, neither Steve or I were up there. But, Tech was fortunate to win. But, boy, that was ugly.
Well, you know, I heard your show last night. I heard you and Hokie Steve, Big Cat. And, I think we saw the same game. And, with the little bump charge call down at the end of the game with Hudson versus Sammy, that really was almost the play of the game, because if the call goes against Hudson, Virginia's coming down the other end to shoot free throws as opposed to Hudson shooting free throws. And then later, obviously, Dorenzo made a huge shot in the corner for that three ball, which I think was, the biggest play for Tech. But
That's the reason I called, because I just want to remind you, Virginia shot 22 free throws in that game. I think it was. We shot 7. So you can't question the officiating based on one play. Scott, who's the best player in the ACC right now, is constantly backing into our guys, and they're playing.
Well,
so,
the only thing I'd ask you, Big Cat, we're going to have to talk to the officials, because how did Tech shoot 7 free throws? We had told them beforehand, 1-2 max.
Listen, Jim and I paid them good, hard-earned money. There's no reason they should have gotten 7 free throws.
I've watched ACC officials for 40 years, and they always know who's supposed to win, So.
Exactly. I think, just Virginia didn't know they were supposed to win. Everybody else knew that the Hoos should have won that game, and we were fortunate to win. But, the officiating, you can't come down to that one call. Come on, guys.
All right,
come on, Frank.
Big Cat, we appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
We'll have to get even in Blacksburg this year.
There we go.
Thank you, Big Cat.
All right, I think we got Corey Alexander on the line here. We introduced you earlier, Corey, and you're a man that needs no introduction anyway. Glad you could join us.
No problem. I appreciate you guys having me.
Here's my first question. You're now a college basketball coach. Do college kids not practice shooting anymore? Is that what the problem is?
Well, it doesn't seem to be a common practice, throughout all different levels of basketball right now. It seems as though, they're getting bigger and stronger and jumping higher and less skilled. That just seems to be the way it's going.
Well, the funny thing is, you and I were both shooters. When I went out to practice, I wasn't working on a step slide. I picked up the ball and practiced shooting.
Well, like I said, you become what you concentrate on. At the end of the day, I know Coach Bennett does a lot of defensive work in practice, and I'm not saying that's not the reason that they can't score, but at the same time, there is a tremendous amount of effort on their defense, and they're great at it. But offensively, that game was putrid. And honestly, I think that they haven't been very good offensively all year. They played against some below average competition, and when they played against tough teams offensively, they struggled.
I agree with you, Corey. It's for some reason there's been a lack of rhythm or a lack of confidence or a lack of aggressiveness on the offensive end, and I wonder if the coaches are just wearing them out with all the defensive focus. But we are going to have to go to break in about a minute or so.
I think we're backing off of that.
Hold on, we're backing off of that. All right, yeah. So, Corey, a few other thoughts. Let's pretend that the Tech game is just an aberration. Virginia's got 3 huge games coming up. Boston College on Thursday night. Then we travel to Raleigh to play NC State, and then we're coming back home to play Clemson on Tuesday. What does Virginia need to do in these 3 games to sort of shake off the Virginia Tech loss?
Well, I don't think it's going to be any problem shaking it off against Boston College. I've been to Boston the last 2 weekends, and I'm going back this weekend to cover Boston College. So just from the standpoint of watching them, they're a very young team. They have 9 freshmen, 12 newcomers overall in their program, and they're not going to be a good road team. So, they're much better at home than they are on the road. So I don't think that that's going to be a tremendous challenge for Virginia. I believe going to Raleigh is going to be an extreme challenge, and the reason for that is because they're very physical on the interior, which means that they have guys who can make it hard for Mike Scott. I'm not going to say that they can guard him, but they can make it difficult for him, just like Virginia Tech did. And at the same time, for Virginia, they have to have other guys, Sammy Zagrinsky, Joe Harris, you know, those guys have to step up and make shots, because Virginia Tech pretty much showed the blueprint as to how to beat Virginia. You take Mike Scott away and you make the other guys beat you, and you really have to rely on Joe Harris and Sammy making threes and scoring enough points to be able to beat you, and they weren't able to do that, of course, against Virginia Tech.
Corey, let me jump in. NC State, I would, you know, if you're looking for a surprise team in the league, they may be. I don't think people expected them to have the kind of year they're having thus far. What's been the key for them?
Well, I believe the biggest key for them is Mark Godfrey's brought a different culture to their program. And I picked them actually fifth behind Virginia as far as the preseason, how they would finish. But I got the opportunity to spend some time with Coach Godfrey and down with their team a little bit over the fall in Raleigh. And the talent level at NC State is probably in the top three of the ACC when you look at the starting lineup. I think right behind North Carolina and Duke, NC State may be right behind them talent-wise when you look at the guys they have. Lorenzo Brown, who was a standout at Hargrave Military Academy, and, I mean, their coach, Kevin Keats, said he was actually the best player to ever come through there over some great players. So from that standpoint, you look at Scott Wood, who's a shooting guard. C.J. Leslie, of course, is a McDonald's All-American, plus Richard Howell and Painter on the interior. They've got a lot of pieces, and they've got veteran pieces. So from that standpoint, you know, that's a pretty good team. It was simply about how they adapted to Coach Godfrey's system and if they could be successful. And so far this year, especially in the ACC, they have.
Yeah, it's going to be, of course, Virginia plays Boston College tomorrow night, but NC State goes to Chapel Hill tomorrow night. So that's one of those games that you sort of mark down and say, hey, this could be interesting. But I guess the other team that started slow but is really coming on is Florida State. What has turned it around for them?
Well, they're getting used to playing with each other. Ian Miller had been out in the first semester, wasn't eligible, so he just got back in. And those guys are starting to get comfortable with each other. Davis Dulkey's is starting to make shots. So things are coming together for Florida State right at the right time. But Florida State and Virginia are very similar because they're always going to be great defensively, but you never know what team is going to show up on the offensive end. And when your team is inconsistent offensively, you can find yourself with some bad losses. I think that happened more for Florida State early in the season, of course, more so than in Virginia. Virginia only lost one game early in the season. So from that standpoint, you know, neither of those teams can rely on their offense to be there every night, but they do a great job as far as being consistent on the defensive end.
You know, let's go back to Virginia for a moment. You know, I not to diminish your defensive prowess, because I'm sure you were really good on the defensive end, but I think a lot of Virginia fans remember your offense more than your defense. From the standpoint of Sammy, is this a mental thing or is it mechanic? I mean, you know, he had an 0-for-8 game at Duke, and now I think he was 0-for-7 the other day from the field, at least, against Virginia Tech. Is his mental psyche been affected somehow?
Well, I mean, from that standpoint, it's always going to be mental because right now he's not shooting the ball confidently. And confidence is, you know, that's all mental from that standpoint. But Sammy can get it going quickly. All he needs to do is knock down a couple shots and get the feeling good about himself. But the thing is, and I think what people don't realize, and I know you do because, of course, you played in it, but when you get to ACC play, you're no stranger to these teams. Maybe your freshman year, your first 8 games through, you're able to get away with some stuff. But outside of that, you're no stranger to any of these teams, and they make it very difficult for you. Everyone in the ACC knows that Virginia is a much better team when Sammy and Joe Harris are both making shots. So they're going to do everything they can to take that away. They know what Mike Scott's strengths are. You know, the things that Mike Scott can do in a non-conference schedule, he's not going to be able to do those in ACC because these guys know him. And it's going to always depend upon the other guys to step up and make plays. Jontel Evans is going to have to make plays. Malcolm Brogdon, Akil Mitchell. It's going to be the efforts of those guys, both defensively and offensively, that will allow Virginia to be successful because they're going to make it very difficult. Not to say that Mike and Joe and Sammy aren't going to score, but they're not going to be able to score enough by themselves to be able to beat other teams. Other people are going to have to step up.
All right. You've touched on my favorite topic. All right. So watching the game on Sunday night, it was clear what Virginia Tech's strategy was on defense. They sort of built a bookcase around Mike Scott. All right. When you've got a man fronting and a man behind, what does Virginia have to do with the ball to rotate it in such a way that ultimately they can free Mike Scott up somehow? And B, also get good looks that are closer to the basket so that the shooting percentages can go up.
Well, when you start to talk about closer to the basket, Virginia doesn't have that personnel. I mean, just to be completely honest, they don't have guys to take the ball to the basket. They have shooters.
Yep.
So from that standpoint,
well,
you know,
at least we thought we had shooters.
That's true. but at the same time, I mean, they're going to have to knock down threes. They're going to have to knock down perimeter shots to make the defense play those guys honestly and to take that other defender away from Mike Scott. But more importantly, Mike Scott has to get to a point, and Mike has grown by leaps and bounds over the last 4 years I've been around him. But Mike still needs to develop as far as a back-to-the-basket game. I think he relies too much on the jump shot. And he has to find ways. One thing about being a good player and borderline great player in the ACC is you have to be able to score when the other team is focused on stopping you. And see, and that's the thing. And like I say, right now I think Mike is a good player, but for him to be a great player, and he's getting a lot of hype and people saying he's the ACC player of the year and this, that, and the other. And I don't want to take anything away from what Mike has done, but you have to be able to score when the other team's focus is to take you out of it. In games like the Virginia Tech game, Virginia still needs Mike to go out and get 15 to 20 points to try to help the other guys on his team become successful. He can't shy away from commanding the basketball and getting other guys shots because of his aggressiveness.
So he's got to become like Brian Stith, and he's got to crash the boards and go get the ball off those rebounds.
Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. You don't make a decision to become like Brian Stith.
Yeah, I was going to say, I love Mike Scott. But
if that was the case, a lot more people would be like Brian Stith. That's not something you can make a decision to do. Brian Stith was born with that, and he worked his butt off to become that.
Right.
And that's not just a decision that can be made.
He's a rare talent. We're visiting with a very familiar voice, Corey Alexander. You've heard him on the Virginia Radio Network. You've heard him on ACC television broadcasts. He's also now a coach at Hampton City. Sydney, you got a game tonight, I think, at Lynchburg College, so he's prepping for a game and taking time to call us. Just quickly, how much of a difference does it make for the team without Ahsan Sen?
I think it makes a tremendous difference against North Carolina and Florida State in a game like Virginia Tech. I mean, I think it makes a difference, but, you know, that wasn't the reason that they lost the game, because Ahsan Sen wasn't there. But just from the standpoint of having the depth, and, you know, Ahsan does so many things outside of scoring and blocking shots, and he's great at defending ball screens.
Yep.
You know, I mean, for a guy his size, he moves his feet so well. He's great at defending ball screens and hedging, and he helps take the opposing team out of what they want to do offensively. But, you know, against Virginia Tech, Virginia was very good defensively. I mean, you hold them to 47 points. That game wasn't lost based upon their defense. It was, you know, and people will say, hey, it was a defensive battle or it was great defense. I mean, you can say that, but in my opinion, it was just flat-out bad offense on both team sides. And, you know, Virginia Tech just, you know, happened to make one more shot than Virginia did.
All right. You know, a thought I had while you were describing that, talk to us a little bit about the quality of the ACC this year. Just, you've seen a lot of the games. You've probably seen all the teams at least once now. What are your thoughts?
In all honesty, I think there are five NCAA-worthy teams, which will be Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, NC State, Florida State. I believe there are four very bad teams. Georgia Tech leading that group. I don't think Wake is very good. I don't think Boston College is very good. And I don't think Virginia Tech is in the bad team group. I think they're in the middle of the pack. They didn't have Eric Green for one of their games, their game at Boston College, which they ended up losing. But they're in the middle of the pack, you know, with Clemson, you know, and the group in the middle is really where it's going to determine how good the ACC is this year, because there are certain teams that just are not good. And a lot of it has to do with the coaching change or guys migrating to the NBA or whatever it may be. But there are a number of teams that just flat out aren't good. And when you have that, that means that your conference overall is not good simply because of what they did in the non-conference schedule before that. You know what I mean? This year you see Boston College coming in to the conference play with six wins. I mean, very seldomly would you ever see an ACC team coming into ACC play with only six non-conference wins.
Yeah, and I think the tough thing for Virginia, and I'd have to double-check this, but you mentioned Georgia Tech, BC, and Wake not being very good. I think Virginia in this new non-round robin, I think they only play those teams once.
Well, which ends up being a good thing. And the reason it ends up being a good thing is because Virginia Tech has had that easy schedule a number of times over the last couple of years, and that schedule, even though they went 10-6 and 9-7 ACC, that schedule stopped them from making it to the NCAA tournament. So Virginia has Florida State twice. They have North Carolina twice. They play at Duke. They play at NC State. They got Clemson twice. And, of course, they play, you know, they got the rivals Virginia Tech and Maryland twice. So when you look at it, they play the teams in the top echelon of the ACC, many of them more than once.
Well, that's
so
that's a very good point.
Won't be a problem.
From the standpoint of the NCAA selection, that's an excellent point.
Corey, we're going to let you go because you've got a basketball game. You're going to be coaching tonight. We wish you the best of luck. And our thoughts also go out to everybody at Hampton Sydney concerning the fire that occurred there this morning at 4 a.m. And I believe it was Dempsey House was the name of the residence hall that was on fire in the middle of the night. But
yeah, I believe so. So we're definitely praying for the young man. He's actually at MCB Hospital right now. So praying for him and hoping he pulls through with a great recovery.
Absolutely. We're thinking about those guys. And listen, good luck tonight. Please stay in touch with us. And thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you guys for having me.
Take care, Corey. All right, we're going to go to break now. We come back. We'll do our LeClaire-Ryan play of the game, and we'll get Michael Tusky in here for some humor. And Nahabo wants to tell some jokes as well. Take care. All right, we're back. This is Frank Maloney with Jim Hobgood, and you're listening to Who's Talking. Just want to throw a plug out there to our friends at the UVA Alumni Association, the Richmond Club. They do a great job here in our community in a lot of ways, and it won't be long before we're doing the Who's versus Hokies food drive that we do to support the Central Virginia Food Bank. Always a good endeavor, and we'll be talking to the folks on Tech Talk Tuesday about that.
Hopefully they'll collect more food than we collected made field goals the other night in the game.
Yeah, maybe that's a good point. Yeah. All right. At this time, we're going to announce our play of the game, sponsored by our good friends at LeClaire-Ryan Law Firm. And Hobbo is going to describe the play of the game.
Yeah, we've selected a play from the Tech game, although, well, we played Tech twice, so the people still don't know which game we're talking about. No, you would think we would have picked one from the Georgia Tech game because that was a better game. But nevertheless, the Virginia game late, the Cavs, I think, were down 7 at one point in time in the second half, which in a normal game, that would have been like down 20,
yeah.
You know, the way that game was going. But they battled back. Took the lead late, underneath 5 minutes to go. Virginia makes a, I think Jontel Evans possibly made a steal.
Yeah.
Get into a 3-on-2 fast break situation. Malcolm Brogdon was involved. He made a terrific pass back to Mike Scott, who was the trailer on the play. He makes the impressive slam dunk that probably got the crowd energized. You gentlemen were at the game. I
yep.
was not able to be there, but John Paul Jones Arena was probably happy at that point in time. Things looked pretty good as Virginia took a 3-point lead with 4:22 to go. Unfortunately, things sort of went downhill from there.
You know, if they could have just made a few more free throws, it would have been a different outcome, but it's a woulda, shoulda, coulda. And I don't care what Big Cat said. I saw the play where Dorenzo Hudson dropped his shoulder, slammed into Sammy. Sammy recoiled beautifully. The referee should have called charge. There was no doubt about it. Anybody that wants to debate it doesn't know basketball.
Well, I was watching the game on TV, and there's no question that was a charge. It was a bad call, but the Big Cat does have a point. That's not the reason Virginia lost the game. They lost the game because they made one of 14 three-point attempts, and you got to just do better than that.
Listen, Jontel made his one. Where were the rest of the
guys? Yeah, that's the sad thing. The one was early.
Yeah.
So, that was, you know.
We almost all fainted when Jontel's ball went through the rim. I said, holy cow, Jontel just made a three ball.
Yeah.
So
little did you know that was it for the evening. But just a tough loss, tough day at the free throw line, just difficult overall. But that's one you just sort of put it behind you. As I told you earlier, I would have been embarrassed and probably wouldn't have gone to class for the next couple of days. And as I pointed out to Frank, however, I didn't go to class anyway, so it didn't make a difference.
All right, we're going to jump right now to our Olympic sports report since we have a couple of minutes. And here to do that is Michael Tusky.
Just a little preview for later. We want to recognize a local soccer player from Deep Run High School who's headed up to UVA next year. He's going to sign his letter of intent on February 1st. Like I said, he's at Deep Run High School, and he's already broken the record of Brian Ownby, who's a star. You've heard his name. From UVA, and his name is Todd Wharton. He's headed to UVA next year, so we're excited to have him. Best player Deep Run's had in a while, and they have lots of stars.
Very good. While we're at it, we're going to bring on Dave Kane here after this top of the hour break. We're looking forward to Dave. He's the voice of the Cavaliers, and has been doing a great job with Virginia Sports Radio Network. I think he really stays very positive, and sometimes that's hard to do. And
he's had a better year this year. You know, football team did better. He had a couple of tough years football-wise to start out, and basketball team having a little more success. And by the way, a couple minutes, I was kidding. I did go to class. I just want the listeners out there to know the old Hobo did attend class.
Once in a blue moon.
That's the one thing I did do.
Well, that's because Linda was in class, and wherever Linda was, Jim had to follow.
Well, I was an undergraduate. I didn't know her that well, so that was not a factor. Nevertheless, you know,
trying to find a cause and effect here.
I did show up. She was in one of my undergraduate classes. She just sat up there in the first row, cute and perky that she was, you know, and is.
Well, we're going to head to break now. When we come back, we're going to be bringing Dave Kane on. Please stay with us. Should be a very lively conversation.